Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. We are now studying the 8th chapter of Masachet Bava Batra. We are in Daf Kuf Tet Zayin Amabat, looking at the 3rd Mishnah of the 8th Perek, again dealing with the issue of Nachala. In this Mishnah, after looking at the point that a person's descendants stand in his stead, and take priority to others, we see the specific ruling of Benot Slofchad. So to get the full background of this, you have to take a look in Bamidbar Perak Chavzayin to see the story. Benot Slofchad were about to enter the land. They were only daughters from Slofchad who had died. Slofchad, as we will find out, was the eldest son of Chefer, of Shev Menasheb. They came to Moshe and said, "We're not going to get any land, and our father's name will be erased." And so they got land. They got 3 portions in the Nachala. What is that? Chelek Avihen, Shayayim Yotze Mitzrayim. So as we said before, their father, the Yotze Mitzrayim, got the land, meaning it was given based on who left Egypt. Their father was one who left Egypt. Therefore, he got land. They got his portion. In addition, their father was somebody who had left Mitzrayim, so he got land, and Slofchad was one of Chefer's sons, and so even though the other sons were alive, they inherited along with them, as we saw in the previous Mishnah. The other thing was that Slofchad was the Bechor of Chefer, and therefore they got 2 portions, the double portion that Slofchad got of Chefer's land. Okay, now we go to the Gemara. Tanan Kiman De'amar Liotzei Mitzrayim Nidchalka Ha'aretz. And as I mentioned in the Mishnah, this supports the position that the land was given based on who left Mitzrayim. Because here's the quandary: one generation left Egypt, nearly that entire generation, with the exception of Yoshua and Kalev, of adults who left Egypt, died out in the desert because of the decree of the scouts. And a whole new generation of adults came into the land. Question is, when the Torah says give the land out based on the people, is it based on the people alive today who are inheriting the land, or is it based on the people who left Egypt? And so our Mishnah supports the idea that it was based on the people who left Egypt, because it's based on the people who are entering the land. Here there are daughters entering the land. When there are sons in the same family, as it were, they wouldn't be getting anything. So let's see. Tanya, Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Tzmachloka, Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yonatan, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar also, the Yotzei Mitzrayim Tchalka Haaretz. So his position is that it was given based on Yotzei Mitzrayim, Shinemar, Shmot Matot Avotehe Avotam Inchalu. And in a little bit we'll see how that pasuk supports the idea that it was given based on Yotzei Mitzrayim. Alamani Mekayim La'ela Techalek Haaretz Benachala. So then what do I do with the next pasuk that I see, which is pasuk number 2 on the page? La'ela techalek ha'aretz b'nachala. The land should be given out to these being the ones who are alive now. The answer is la'ela ka'ela. What it means is that we divide it based on a grouping, just like the grouping that we have today. Meaning it's not this group, but it's a group similar, lo'tziyat ha'tfalim, meaning we do not count anyone under 20 of Yotzei Mitzrayim for Nachala. Meaning we look at the group today. The group today is a group that includes several million people, but the only ones that are counted for the census are the men over 20. Similarly, when we go back to Mitzrayim, we talk about people who are 20 at the time. That is Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonatan Omer Levei Aretz Nechalka Aretz, Shinemar La'ela Techalek Aretz B'Nachala. He reads that pasuk straight up and says you divide it to these people, meaning the people about to enter the land. That's how you divide it up. So then how do I interpret the pasuk that we will all agree refers to Yotzei Mitzrayim? The answer is Meshunan Nachala Zu Mikol Nachalat Shebaolam. Is that this inheritance like no other inheritance? And how does that reflect back to Yotzei Mitzrayim? Shekol Nachalot Shebaolam Chayin Yorshin Meitim. In every other inheritance, the people who are alive inherit from those who are dead. V'kan Meitim Yorshin Chayin. Here, the dead inherit from the living. What that means is that we give the Nachala based on the people who come to the land. Then all those people who got Nachala, theoretically, it then goes back to the previous generation and gets redivided and then comes to those who are coming to the land based on that new division. So the reason that Yotzei Mitzrayim are invoked is not because they are the essential heirs, but they're the conduit for redivision. I'm a Rebbe, so Rebbe explains Rabbi Yonatan. I'm sholach hamashal l'madavar domet. What's it like? Shnei achim kohanim shayu bi'irachat. So there's a grandfather and there's two brothers, and evidently they've agreed to share trumot. V'achad yesh lo ben achad, v'achad yesh lo shnei vanim. But one of the brothers has one son, and the other has two sons. V'achula goren. So the two brothers, meaning the fathers of these sons, went to the granary to collect their truma. So the one who has one son gets to collect truma for himself and for one son. The other gets truma for himself and for two sons. So that means the guy with the two sons got more. And each son gets one chelek. And then what goes back? They go back and theoretically goes back to their father. By the way, their father doesn't need to be alive. Goes back to their father. And then they split it equally. And what happens is the one with one son gets 1.5 chalakim, because they have a total of three. One son plus two sons, they have three. They divide it equally. So this one gets 1.5, and which means he gains a half over what he originally came back with. And the other one gets 1.5. He loses a half over what he originally got. And that's how the Nachala here works. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, it's divided really to both Yotzei Mitzrayim and Bayei Haaretz. And why is it that way? In order to fulfill both of these psukim. So how does it work? Which means, by the way, now each chelek is diminished. Because we divide the same pot into twice as many ways, then each slice is half. So, Hayami Yotze Mitzrayim Yotel Chalko. If this guy was one of the people who left Mitzrayim, then he gets his portion. Im Yotze Mitzrayim, then he gets a portion with those who left Mitzrayim. Hayami Bayaretz, if he was one of the people who came to Eretz Yisrael, Yotel Chalko in Bayaretz, then he gets land with them. Mikan and Mikan, let's say he was in both groups, which is only theoretical, except in the case of Yeshua and Kalev, Yotel Chalko Mikan and Mikan, then he gets his portion with both. Now, two separate things in this Braita, which are not Rav Shimon Elazar, they're the Braita. Meraglim, what happened to the land of the 10 scouts? Yoshua v'chalei l'chalkam. We find that their children did not get their land, but rather it went to the two good scouts, Yoshua and Kalev. Mitlonanim v'adad Korach, the complainers mentioned in Bamidbar, who died in the desert, the Asaf Suf, etc., they're complaining about the meat. And Adat Korach, Korach's whole congregation, who died in the desert. Lo ayelam chelek baretz. They themselves did not get a place in the land, even though they were Yotzei Mitzrayim. They lost it, they forfeited. But Habanim, but what, their children did get a chelek in the land. And why did their children get chelek in the land? Adlu b'zchut avi avien, b'zchut avi imotean. They got it not through their fathers who lost their chelek, but rather through their grandfathers, through their fathers' fathers, and through their father and through their mother's fathers, who all inherited as Yotzei Mitzrayim. Now, at the end of after this Braita, we go back and wonder, why does the Pasuk, Lishmot Matot Avotam, indicate Yotzei Mitzrayim? My mashma da'i Lishmot Matot Avotam, Yotzei Mitzrayim, Ketiv, why? Dilma Lishvatim Kamarla. Maybe, because this is in Bamidbar, after the 40 years, maybe he's saying to the Shvatim, that we divided based on you guys and based on the tribes that are around right now. The answer is, when Moshe first comes to Bnei Israel to tell them that they're going to leave Mitzrayim and they're going to inherit this land, he says, I'm going to give you this land as an inheritance, meaning, it's an inheritance from your ancestors. And who is he talking to? He's talking to the generation that's about to leave Mitzrayim. So that generation understood that it was their land that they were getting that they were the proper heirs. And therefore, Lishmot Amotot Avotam Minchalu is a reference to the original heirs, which are Yotzei Mitzrayim. Okay, now, Amar Rav Papa Labai, we have a series of challenges to Rabbi Yonatan's position, indicating that it was the Ba'ei Haaretz. And the first two are of Papa's. I understand Rabbi Shir's position. I understand why there's an emphasis in the Torah of saying that you give a greater portion to the larger one and a smaller portion to the smaller one. That's only meaningful if the group that's coming in currently isn't the same group of division, and then there's something, there's a chidush here, there's something that's a little surprising, which is that it's not going based on the actual numbers in front of us. But according to the position of Rabbi Yonatan, that it's divided based on who's coming to the land, what is l'rav tabu nachlato? Obviously, everybody gets an equal portion. So a larger shevet gets a larger family gets a bigger portion, etc. There's nothing new there. So kasha, indeed, that's a good question. Second question. I understand why Bnot Tzlafchad were complaining if it was given based on Yotzei Mitzrayim, because they really should be getting a chelek, and they weren't. But according to the position of Rabbi Yonatan, that the land was only divided based on who's coming to the land, what are they crying about? How late did Elish call? Father's not around that he should get a chelek, so why are they saying, where's father's chelek? Ella, here Abai gives an answer. L'chazara v'lito b'nichsei chefer. According to what we explained earlier in Rabbi Yonatan's position, that once ba'ei ha'aretz get land, then it goes back, and it goes into the pot of those who left Mitzrayim, and one of them was chefer, and these are the granddaughters of chefer, whose father is not going to be getting land, so they wanted to be part of that. So it's possible for them to have complained, even if it was l'ba'ei ha'aretz because of the redivide. Now the Gemara itself has a third challenge to Rabbi Yonatan. According to Rabbi Yoshia, it's fine. I understand why Bnei Yosef in Sefer Yehoshua come and complain to Yehoshua and say, we have a larger tribe and we didn't get enough land. So we understand that they were given land based on their numbers at Yitziat Mitzrayim, and now they're a bigger group, so they're complaining about the room. So why are they complaining? After all, everybody got a portion. The answer is mishum tfalim dahavun afishalu. The answer might be that they had more little kids and they were worried 20 years down the line about having enough land. So it could be that it was really given to ba'ei haaretz, but because this particular family had way more children than other tribes, they were concerned about future growth. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye then makes the following observation. It must be that everybody in the desert got their proper portion in the land. Why? Because we hear about what we think is the only case of someone feeling like they weren't getting their land. We hear about it. Then they should have complained. So you might think that maybe whoever complained and got land, we heard the story about, like Bnot Tzlafchad, maybe there are other people who complained and didn't get land, so the Torah didn't tell us about it. In other words, there might have been other stories about complaining that people didn't get land. But that doesn't work, because you have this story in Yehoshua where Bnei Yosef complained they wanted more land, and they didn't get more land. What Yehoshua told them was, there's some empty land in your territory, and go cut down the trees and take it. So the answer is no. Hatam Eitzah Tova Kamash Malan. The reason the Bnei Yosef story was told was for a different reason. It was there to tell us an Eitzah Tova, tell us a proper way to speak. In other words, it is entirely possible, we could still hold a position that we only heard about stories of complaining when the stories worked, which means Bnei Tzlafchad is the only story, and nobody else complained because everybody else got land. And the only reason we heard the Bnei Yosef story was to teach us something about how you speak. A person should be careful from Ayin Hara. Because what happened? Bnei Yosef came and said, we have lots and lots of kids, and Hashem blessed us. What happened? What did Yoshua say? Go up into the forest and cut down trees and take that area that's already in your allotted land. What did he mean by that? Why is he telling that? Why didn't you say go there? Why is he telling them to hide in the forest? To go in the forest. What he was saying, why didn't he mention the forest? He said, go up to the forest and hide in the forest so that the Ayin Hara doesn't get you. Meaning, you came and announced how many kids you have and how wonderful things are for you, and now you need more land. That's really not such a good way to talk. And that's why we're told the story. So now, parenthetically, what's the response? I'm relaying Anan Mizara de Yosef. We come from Yosef's children. We are Yosef. And Yosef is above the Ein Har. We already saw this earlier. Ben Porat Yosef. And Yaakov's bracha to Yosef says Ben Porat Yosef. Ben Porat Ale Ayin. What does Ale Ayin mean? They rise above the eye. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Mar Mehacha, famous drasha, mean gula rov bekerav haaretz. What's the drasha? This is the bracha that Yaakov gives to Menashe and Ephraim, really to Yosef. Just like fish who are in the sea are covered up by the water and the ayin hara can't see them. Same thing with Yosef's children. That the ayin hara of does not affect Yosef, and therefore they said we were free to speak that way. So we hear really both sides of this from the passage in Yoshua. But the bottom line, as far as we're concerned, is that means that we are told about all of the situations where people complained, and the one time we were told about where they complained, they didn't get it because we're taught something else from that. Okay, we'll pause at this point, pick up in our analysis of this Mishnah, but on Slav Chad, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.